Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 145. I'm your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is this week's special guest co-host, CJ, Chris Johnston. How's it going, CJ?
It is going amazing, Chris. Thank you so much for inviting me back to Power Pros. Always great to talk Nintendo with you.
Glad to hear it. Glad to have you back. And yes, that is why we are here once again to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. So we've got some new releases to talk about. We have a little bit of news to discuss. And then we have this week's big topic, which is going to be humorous video games, funny video games on Nintendo systems. Before we get to that, though, let's kick things off by talking about some recent releases, starting with a game that hit Switch a couple days ago, Code of Princess EX. This is, of course, an update to the 3DS hack-and-slash side-scrolling action RPG now being published by the folks at Nicolas. CJ, did you happen to play this one, or have you played this one when it was on 3DS?
I know nothing about this game whatsoever.
Okay.
I did not play it on 3DS, and it has escaped my attention on Switch somehow.
Well, in that case, let me fill you in. It is a classic side-scrolling hack and slash, very much in the vein of Guardian Heroes. In fact, some of the creators of Guardian Heroes on the Saturn were also involved. So that means there are multiple playable characters to choose from. There's two-player co-op gameplay. And unlike your traditional hack and slash game, there are three rails that your character can move between instead of being able to move freely across the battlefield. And the thing that's cool about that is that it enables fighting game style special moves in addition to your traditional just, you know, hack, jump, and attack.
Okay.
And I enjoy this game quite a bit on 3DS, and it is actually indeed better on the Nintendo Switch.
What makes it better?
Well, at its core, it's pretty much the same game, you know, just lots of fun and furious action, and then you also, you know, level up your characters and grow in strength as you play through the stages. It's also got, you know, some of the same drawbacks as the original game, such as missions that are kind of short. But to answer your question as to what's better about this version, there are numerous improvements. For one thing, the 2D art has been redrawn in much higher resolution. I mean, it still isn't, like, you know, super high res, so it doesn't always scale nicely 100% of the time. There can be some rough edges depending on how big the sprites are on the screen, because it does vary. But perhaps more importantly than that, there are no frame rate drops at all. That was a big problem with the 3DS version. When a lot was going on, the frame rate would really take a hit, especially if you were in 3D. But this time, the entire game is silky smooth, no matter how many enemies or how much action is on the screen. And there's also a full co-op campaign mode. And I would say that's probably the best addition, because, you know, these kinds of games are definitely best played with a friend. They also changed some enemy AI, I think, to make them smarter. And then they also altered the way that your stats and character upgrades work. You used to be able to allocate stats to your different traits. Now it's all done automatically. Personally, I don't think that the changes to the stats and the enemy AI are really that big a difference, but it's kind of cool to have them in there. Ultimately, though, you know, this is the kind of game that you just want to sit down, grab a friend, and start beating the crap out of bad guys, and it's fun in that old-school arcade sort of way. Also, you know, it's lighthearted, it's got great character designs, it's got some very entertaining writing, and it's enjoyable in that sense as well.
Okay. Are there multiple characters to choose, and if so, who's your favorite?
Yeah, there definitely are multiple characters. If you play through campaign mode, when you start out, you know, there's really only one or two characters you can choose from. But by the time you're done with campaign mode, there are a total of eight. But then for other play modes, there are a whopping 50 characters. You know, like I said, it's very much like Guardian Heroes, where all of the enemies, all of the characters are typically NPCs, eventually become playable. So if you're just, you know, replaying missions, or you're playing in the game's versus mode, which is online only, that's when all these other characters come into play. You know, as for which character is my favorite in campaign mode, I don't know. I mean, Princess Solange is the titular Code of Princess, and I realize that titular might be a very bad word considering her character design. But she is the star of the game, and she's pretty cool to use. She's a pretty entertaining character, you know, a little bit of an airhead, but also a very good fighter. There's a necromancer named Zozo, and I like her a lot, too. She's great for long-range attacks, and you know, you have MP as well as physical attacks in this game, so she's good for lots of range stuff, doing all kinds of elemental damage to enemies. And then there's this big, buff, burly guy whose name is Master T. And, you know, he's sort of an oaf, but the fact that his name is a lot like Mr. T kind of makes him very endearing as well.
Nice.
One thing that's different, though, about this game compared to the 3DS one that, you know, is maybe a step backwards, is that the English voiceovers are gone. This one is totally in Japanese. Now, depending on your tastes, that actually could be considered to be a better thing, to have the original voices in there instead of English voices. But it's still, you know, kind of a shame in my opinion. I also think that, you know, maybe they could have done some adjustments to the controls. Like, the way you move between rails is you hold down the block button and then hit up or down to jump between rails. And that's how it was on 3DS. But now on Nintendo Switch, you've also got those nice ZL and ZR buttons, which were not on the original 3DS. So I thought, oh, maybe they can add something to that. You can just change rails with a single button. But they didn't do that, so... No. Again, it's not the end of the world, but it does seem like a missed opportunity to me.
Yeah, completely.
So hearing all that, you know, does that entice you? Do you think, oh, I should totally check this out? Do you feel like you're missing something here?
Well, is it a full price game? How much is it?
I picked it up for $40, and that was the physical version of the game. I think it's the same price for downloadable, but yeah, $40, so not exactly full price, not discount priced either, but it seems pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah, maybe it's just the genre, but beat-em-ups in general, like even if they're really good, like Guardian Heroes-style beat-em-ups, that probably is a little too expensive for me to buy new, but so I might wait for a sale.
I see. Personally, I'm a big fan of beat-em-ups and hack-em-slash games. I like this game on 3DS, so I totally knew what I was getting into, and I absolutely still continue to like it in this form on Switch. It's definitely recommended, I would say, for Guardian Heroes fans and for other fans of this genre. And, you know, the more friends I know that have it, hey, that gives me more opportunities to, you know, go online and play co-op with some friends and stuff like that. So, you know, if you ever do... And you're looking for someone to play some two-player? Just let me know.
I shall.
All right. Moving on then to another new release, or actually I would say this is an updated release. Out of nowhere, just yesterday as we record this, the fine folks over at WayForward announced a new update to Shantae Half-Genie Hero. This new content they announced are the new Jammies mode, and then a new transformation dance that is a crossover with Blaster Master Zero. Now, do you have Shantae Half-Genie Hero already?
I do, but for the PS4.
Ah, okay. Well, nonetheless, you will still have access to this content because that's one of the coolest things about this update. This update is totally free to anybody who ever bought the game. So whether you have the original version, whether you have the Ultimate Edition, whether it's on Switch or Wii U or even on the PS4, or you were a Kickstarter backer or you weren't, everybody gets it.
Awesome.
So this is an update that was never announced. It was never promised. It was not a stretch goal or anything. It's just a totally free update. And, you know, the fact that they did something like this is completely mind-blowing to me. Like, nobody does this sort of thing except Nintendo sometimes. You know, they'll put out the occasional free updates for games. Sometimes, you know, that's like the point of a game like Splatoon, where there's always new updates coming. But for a third party to do something like this, it's pretty crazy and unprecedented.
Yeah, and I really like that they announced it and released it on the same day. That's always exciting, and especially if it's for a game that you really enjoyed, or for two games you really enjoyed, like Blaster Master Zero and Shantae, it's, you know, a nice extra and a reason to go back to Shantae.
Yeah, totally. And I do really enjoy Shantae Half-Genie Heroes. I was very pleased to see this. And what Jammies mode is... also known as a slumber party mode, or as I'm calling it, Shantae's Pajama Jam.
That's a better title for it.
It is basically another costume DLC mode. So you play as Shantae in her pajamas, and instead of whipping enemies with her hair, she bashes them with a pillow. Then she can throw sheep that bounce around and function as projectiles, and she can float on a cloud if she ever needs to do any high jumping or anything like that. You do only have 3 hearts on your life meter, but enemies tend not to inflict a ton of damage. At least I've played through about half the game, and so far there haven't been any enemy attacks that are too brutal. Ultimately, you know, it's cute. It's, you know, nothing as cool as the Officer or Ninja DLC, And it's, you know, very similar in a lot of ways to the Beach Mode DLC, only without that brutal difficulty. But again, as a totally free add-on, I just think it's really fun and really cute. And again, I'm very appreciative that they put that in there.
Yeah, sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's neat. And then the Blaster Master thing is a new transformation dance that you can unlock. You can trade in one of your old dances, and then you gain the ability to turn into Sophia the Third, the tank from Blaster Master Zero.
That's pretty cool. Now, how does that change how the game plays?
Well, the way that Shantae is built means there's a lot of platforming more than there is, you know, shooting necessarily. So,
sure.
So you're going to have to use that ability sparingly because, you know, there aren't like a whole lot of sections where you can just, you know, race around and shoot everything in sight before it's like, okay, well, I need to, you know, climb up a chain or do some complex platforming here. Mm. But still, it is super fun. I mean, you're basically transformed into a car with a face and a gun, and it feels great. It's surprisingly agile for an anthropomorphic vehicle. Amazing rapid fire long range capabilities, and it's just, you know, really enjoyable to use. I mean, I kind of wish that they had like built a whole mode around this because it is so fun to do. But, you know, I used as much as I could. I played through some of the early levels using it. I even played up to the final boss using this transformation. Each attack with this transformation does very little damage, so fighting the end boss was a real pain in the butt. It just took a long time to defeat Risky, but still, it was just fun and cool and really neat. Once again, just a great little inclusion.
Yeah, I'd love to see more crossovers like this. And I wonder how this one came to be. What's the story behind it? Did they say anything, or was it just kind of thrown out there?
Well, they didn't say anything specifically, but Shantae, of course, is a playable character in Blaster Master Zero, so it's kind of reciprocation for that.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, as I've mentioned on this podcast numerous times, I think Shantae Half-Genie Hero is a fantastic game. If you haven't picked it up already, perhaps this new content is just the thing to finally convince you to do so. The other new release I kind of wanted to talk about this week was Go Vacation, but I didn't pick that game up, so I have nothing to say about it this week. Don't suppose you did either?
I did not, no.
Okay, well,
skipped that one.
Understandable, seeing as it's basically a full-priced re-release of a Wii game. So,
I am looking forward to cracking my 3DS open again this weekend once WarioWare Gold comes out.
Oh, excellent. Yes, I will definitely be getting that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
But since we have no more new releases to talk about, let's move along and talk about some news. One interesting new announcement from Nintendo recently is that there is more Nintendo Labo on the way. Nintendo Labo Volume 3, the Vehicle Kit, is coming out on September 14th. Once again, of course, you'll be using cardboard to build constructions such as control consoles for a car, a submarine, and an airplane, as well as a car's gas pedal. And then these keys that you put the Joy-Cons into and then insert into these control panels. There are even two keys, one for the main player and then one for a co-pilot. Have you checked out the video for this and seen what this is all about, CJ?
Yes, I did watch the video, and it looks, you know, more advanced than the variety kit and maybe on par with the robot kit. And maybe the game itself even looks possibly like a little more complex than even the robot was.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it's on the complex side for me. You know, there's a lot of moving parts in this thing. There's wheels and levers and buttons, and, you know, there's a cord you can yank that's supposed to be used to perform wheelies. I do kind of worry about the durability on this thing, especially the gas pedal. It's like you're actually going to be stomping on this thing with your foot. But then again, I admit, I have still not ever really used Nintendo Labo. I don't know how the old stuff worked out. Maybe it's all really, really durable and really, really great. I forget, did you pick up the previous Nintendo Labo sets? Have you been enjoying those?
Yeah, we picked up the variety kit
and
made some of the things in there. We didn't actually finish the variety kit, but we did the piano, the house, and one or two other things. My daughter is 6, and so she needed help constructing the stuff, so anything more complicated than the variety kit like this looks like it would be.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Probably just a little too out of her age range for right now. But certainly this sort of like, you like set the thing on your lap and it's a driving wheel.
Right.
It looks cool for sure.
It does.
I think a couple more years and I could totally see putting this together with my daughter. But even the variety kit, it ended up being me putting a lot of the stuff together and her doing stickers and drawing on the cardboard itself. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably wait to jump into this one, but it certainly looks cool.
Yeah, it does. And like you said, the gameplay certainly looks more advanced. Apparently you are going on, you know, in-game adventures using all three vehicles, you know, so you're going underwater, you're flying through the air, you're driving around. Apparently there's some sort of combat involved as well.
And you're cutting down trees.
Yeah, that's right.
In one scene too, yeah.
So it seems like there's a lot to this one. I mean, when I looked at this, I kind of thought, you know, the older sets remind me of like regular Legos, and this reminds me of like, you know, the Technics sets that were supposed to be for, you know, advanced older kids. So it does seem like there is a lot of potential in this one, and I'm more intrigued by this, I think, than any of the previous sets.
Yeah, I certainly am more intrigued by this than the robot kit, which seemed like an awful lot of time to spend to just play the little robot minigame.
Yeah, I never really got that knowledgeable about what the software actually was that came with that one. So, yeah, I'm still kind of in the dark a little bit. But, yeah, this certainly looks intriguing. It's priced at $70, and like you, it's probably not something I'm going to get anytime soon, but I would love to check it out. It seems neat.
Totally.
Another upcoming game that also looks very neat is a new one that was announced by Bandai Namco. That is Taiko no Tatsujin Drum and Fun, which is supposed to be coming out on November 2nd. This, of course, is the latest in the popular drum-based rhythm series from Japan, but has only had, as far as I know, one release in North America before, and that was all the way back on PS2.
Yeah, I picked that one up back then.
Okay, cool. So you know what it's all about.
I sure do.
You know, basically, this is a sort of traditional style rhythm game where you're supposed to match the rhythm to the moving dots on the screen. But this time, you're using the Joy-Cons like drumsticks. And so as these dots are scrolling around, you're shaking the left Joy-Con or the right Joy-Con to perform drum music along to the beat.
That's right. Sometimes you do them together. And then also with the taiko drum, I don't know if you've seen how that's set up. It's a large drum. And you use these two mallets, which the Joy-Cons are representing. Mm-hmm. And you actually, in Taiko Drum Master, you hit the side of the drum as well occasionally.
Okay.
So in the Switch version, you actually turn the Joy-Con just a little bit and do a drum motion, and that will hit the side of the drum. It's a pretty interesting implementation of it to be able to do it without the Taiko Drum Master, the really large controller that they sold with the PS2 version.
Ah, okay. Well, that's definitely good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the one downside to this version is that in the U.S., it's going to be digital only, and there's also no drum controller outside of Japan.
Right.
However, of course, you know, you can import the drum controller if you feel so obligated. Heck, you could even import the physical Japanese version of the game, which just came out recently overseas.
Indeed. And you can also play it with buttons, but that is the boring way of playing
Taiko. Oh, yeah, I would want to do it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely want to do it by shaking the Joy-Cons. And that certainly seems like a very reasonable way to do it without peripherals. I mean, it just seems like a natural fit.
Yeah.
You know, there's that other game, Galmetal, that's coming out from Xseed, where you also are playing virtual drums with your Joy-Cons. And even though I was terrible at it at E3, it worked really, really well. And I imagine this will only be better, if anything.
Yeah. And this also makes me want Samba de Amigo for the Switch, but oh well.
Yeah, that would be cool too.
Yeah.
But this game does have a lot of cool features. Like, this one actually includes Jump Up Superstar from Super Mario Odyssey as one of the tracks that you can play along to, as well as the Splatoon 2 theme.
And I heard it also has some Disney tracks in it as well?
You know, I'm not sure if this version does. I thought that was in the PlayStation 4 game that's also being released at the same time, but I don't know if that's included in this Switch version, this Drum and Fun game.
Oh, that would be a shame, but I'll still buy it.
Me, personally, I'm still undecided, but there's a very good chance I will. I haven't played a good rhythm game in a long, long time. I've been really waiting for a new one to tickle my fancy, and this one does seem pretty darn cool, so I would love to give it a go. In addition to, the main gameplay stuff, there are going to be 20 mini games for up to 4 players, and there are even going to be opportunities to play as Nintendo characters. Like, I think there's some mini game or mode in here where you can play as Kirby and stuff like that. So, yeah, not only is it a very cool rhythm game, but it's chock full of Nintendo-y goodness.
Awesome.
The last thing I wanted to touch on in the news this week is just a little bit of the Nintendo financials for the quarter that ended on June 30th. And I don't want to get, you know, too in-depth on this stuff, but I did want to mention that Switch is now up to nearly 20 million units sold. The total of Switch games sold is up to around 87 million, and Nintendo 3DS is now up to nearly 73 million units sold. Net sales are up, profits are up, and we're not talking by just a little bit. We're talking by, like, billions and billions of dollars. So, yes, Nintendo is doing very well.
Bodes well for the Switch.
Indeed, indeed it does. Labo has sold more than 1.39 million so far, which is really interesting because, you know, judging by what I've seen in stores, it didn't seem like it was flying off the shelves or anything.
Yeah.
But apparently it is doing very well. Mario Tennis Aces has already sold over 1 million. And the NES Classic, I don't know if that's for this year or total, but has sold 1.26 million. And, you know, I don't know if they had actually shared numbers on that before, but, you know, that's pretty darn impressive.
That is great. And I've heard a lot of reports from people who are picking it up this year that it's a lot easier to find second controllers as well.
Yes, yes. I finally found a second controller this past weekend. And I, you know, I did find one on the very first day, on launch day. I was able to get one then. But I'd been trying to find one for a friend of mine basically ever since then. And so I finally was able to find one in a store a couple days ago. So I'll be sending that off to my buddy in Texas.
Nice.
Amid these financials, there was also an update on some smartphone games. Dragalia Lost is coming this summer, which, you know, I totally missed out on the announcement for that when it was revealed a couple months back. And then Mario Kart Tour is also still in the works and will be out by the end of the fiscal year that ends next March.
Awesome.
Yeah, if you also missed out on it, Dragalia Lost is an action RPG in which the characters can transform into dragons and is developed by Cygames, the makers of Granblue Fantasy.
Yeah, that joint venture there that they've got going with Nintendo and Cygames, that's a really interesting one, especially since Granblue Fantasy is such a phenomenon in Japan.
Yeah, indeed it is.
So this is a very interesting team up, and I'm really interested in seeing if that game comes to the U.S.
Sounds like it is.
Quickly.
Oh.
I'm sure it will eventually, but in terms of which market are they really aiming for first, Japan or worldwide?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to find out.
Yeah.
But certainly, all of that, you know, bodes well. Things are definitely going well for Nintendo, and if you are a Nintendo fan, it can only mean more goodness in the future. I think it's time for us to take an intermission, so let us do that, and then we come back, we will discuss this week's big topic, which is our favorite humorous games. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is our favorite humorous games on Nintendo systems. Sometimes you want a game that is atmospheric and moody. Sometimes you want a game that is serious and action-packed. And sometimes you want to play a game that's just good for a laugh. So that's what this week's big topic is all about. What games you want to pick when you want to play something that might give you a nice, solid chuckle. So, CJ, you know, there are clearly a lot of games on Nintendo platforms that can tickle your funny bone. What would you say would be a great choice if you want to play something funny on Nintendo platforms?
Well, let's say you have a group of people over and you want to play something funny. I recommend any of the Jackbox Party Pack games on Switch.
Okay. An interesting choice.
Those are always an amazing time, always super funny, and you can play them on the Switch, as long as everybody has a smartphone as well. And there are a variety of games in there, trivia and drawing games, like a Pictionary style game. There's just a lot of great mini games in those collections, and I think there have been four of them so far. I bought all four and have played them with family and friends, and they're always a fantastic time, always a knee-slapping time when we do.
Okay. All right, cool. I admit, I have not played those yet, and that one was not something I thought of, so I'm glad that you brought that one up. You know, personally, I started thinking mostly about single-player stuff right away, and the first ones that came to mind to me are, you know, probably the quintessential, you know, humorous games on Nintendo systems, the Mario and Luigi and Paper Mario titles.
Absolutely. Classics.
Yes. That's exactly what I was going to say. They are absolute classics. They have lots of great dialogue. You know, everyone probably remembers, you know, Fawful's lines, and Bowser is very funny. And, you know, even the stuff they do with Luigi, even when it's sort of abusive, is typically funny. You know, lots of, you know, classic bits of dialogue like the Mustard of Doom and I Have Fury and, you know, Bowser telling his minions to shave, or actually telling Mario and Luigi that his minions need to shave. You know, all that stuff with the evil version of Luigi and stuff like that. I mean, there's just, you know, so many good things when you think about, you know, all those games in that series throughout the years. Just very, very entertaining stuff. You know, a lot of the bosses, you know, what was that guy's name? Chunks, the guy who flies around with his farts. The Rock Hawk. Just all kinds of great, hilarious, entertaining characters in those games. And that's why I think people have been kind of down on some of those recent Paper Mario games, because they've taken out a lot of the RPG elements and thus a lot of the dialogue that made those original ones so fun and so enjoyable. And people want to get back to that old style that was there in the original and in Thousand Year Door.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they had such entertaining and hilarious content.
I did really like Color Splash, though, and I'm still sort of surprised that that has not come out for the Switch, because that was one of the very last big Wii U games, and I feel like a lot of people missed that one, and I thought that one was one of the best new style Paper Mario games.
Yeah, that was definitely a step in the right direction. It might not have had as many RPG elements as the classic ones, but it was a huge improvement over Sticker Star and gave ample opportunity for funny moments, that's for sure. What other funny games would you recommend?
Well, let me tell you about a game called Pool Panic for the Nintendo Switch from Adult Swim Games. Now, I might be a little biased because I do work for Adult Swim Games, but Pool Panic came out a week and a half ago now and is the world's least realistic pool simulator. And
so I've heard.
In my opinion, one of the funniest games that we've ever released. And just a unique take on pool where the balls are anthropomorphic and can walk around. And you have different stages that are themed, so it's not just a pool table, but you go to campgrounds, there's a motorcycle bit, there's a bank heist, there's all sorts of different levels in there, and it's a funny, weird game that is unlike anything I've ever played or seen on Nintendo systems, and that's right up there for me, even though I'm biased. Sorry.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet myself, but, you know, last week we were talking about it on the show, Pete played it, and he liked it quite a bit. And, you know, judging from what I've seen, it certainly looks very, very amusing to me, too. Can't wait to give it a go.
Indeed. I'll hook you up, Chris.
All right.
Yeah.
Another classic Nintendo game that I find that gives me a good laugh. You know, this isn't one that is, you know, like laugh-out-loud funny, but I've always found that The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening is very, very amusing. It just got lots of weird, silly, goofy, such sort of a weird and strange sense of humor. You know, not anything where you're going to be constantly laughing, but, you know, the amount of silliness that's in there from, you know, that one villager who promises he's going to be lost in the mountains later, and of course you do find him lost in the mountains later, and then you give him a pineapple, and he's like, yummy, I am bursting with energy now. And there's that kid who gives you advice about, you know, like the game controls, and so he's sort of breaking the fourth wall, and then he's just like, don't ask me, I'm just a kid. There's, you know, the animal village, and there's this one character, I think, is it a goat? Anyway, she sends a love letter to some guy living off in the forest and encloses a picture of Princess Toadstool to pretend that that's what she looks like.
Oh, right, right.
So just lots.
Isn't Wart? Wart's in that game too, right?
Wart is in that game too, yes. Yeah. Or rather, it's a guy that looks just like Wart. I forget what his name is. Mamu or something like that.
Right, right, yep.
But yeah, it's totally Wart. Now, I wouldn't call that one of the funnier parts, but yeah, there's just lots of crazy and weird stuff that will bring a smile to your face. So I'm going to count Link's Awakening for these purposes.
All right.
And another first-party game that I think is definitely good for a few laughs is Kid Icarus Uprising. And that's just because of the great humorous banter that is added in throughout the game as you're flying around and fighting.
Is it the banter between Pit and Palutena, or...?
Most of the time it is, yeah, but it's, you know, all the characters, really. I mean, every character is really well-written, and you know, it's very, very amusing stuff a lot of the times.
You know, I think Earthbound is one that people may not necessarily think of as a humorous game, but
I definitely would.
I love the humor in that, love the writing.
Kind of a wry sense of humor, but yeah.
Yeah, and just a very nostalgic game for me now as I play it, which I bought it back in the late 90s when it came out and played it and really liked it, but I don't think I appreciated it until I replayed it when I was in my mid-30s. Yeah, I really enjoy the humor and the pokes at video game tropes that it does. And yeah, I find it one of my favorite humorous games.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's definitely got a very quirky sense of humor that, again, it's not this typical, you know, laugh out loud, funny sort of stuff. But I think it's kind of similar to the feel of, you know, Link's Awakening, where it just kind of, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's hard to be funny in video games, especially if a lot of the dialogue is through text, because a lot of humor and comedy comes from timing, and it's very hard to do that to any level of skill. So yeah, a lot of these games that we're talking about, especially the older ones, it's all sort of up to you to devise your own comic timing and into them.
I guess, although that kind of makes me think back to, you know, what we were saying about Mario and Luigi and Paper Mario. And part of the thing that makes those games so great as humorous games is they do have fantastic animations to go along with the writing. So
that's true.
Yeah, those two are really kind of the whole package. But speaking of classic games, another really great, entertaining one is Maniac Mansion, which again is full of silly situations and goofy characters. Like, you know, you've got a depressed tentacle who wants to start a band, and this hamster-obsessed teenager, and then the evil meteor has, you know, secret ambitions of being a writer. So, you know, just lots of goofy stuff like that. You know, silly items, and you know, there's the hunk-o-matic that automatically, you know, buffs you up so you can become super strong in an instant. And you like the fact there's a nuclear reactor in the pool, just things like that, I find you know, pretty darn entertaining.
Absolutely.
Any others for you?
Well, we were talking about it a little bit earlier. WarioWare Gold comes out this week in the US.
Yes.
And I remember playing the original on the GBA and just cracking up at all of the mini games in there, and even some of the things like Jump Forever, which is in the original WarioWare game, I just had a lot of fun with. I used Jump Forever on my commute to and from work back in the early 2000s. And yeah, just had a lot of fun laughing with those games and playing all of those mini games. And very much looking forward to WarioWare Gold. But that for sure has got to be up there on one of the funniest games, any incarnation of WarioWare.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. It is, you know, clearly one where pretty much everything is silly. The whole premise is silly. The characters are silly. This whole idea of Wario just trying to make video games is silly. And of course, the microgames themselves are silly. I mean, you're picking noses and unrolling toilet paper and slapping dudes off of cliffs. It is not exactly the most sophisticated humor out there. But again, this is one that, you know, always amuses me, always brings a smile to my face.
Same here. Absolutely.
Of course, another first-party tile that I think is great when you're talking about humor, a game that is full of goofy, over-the-top situations, is Elite Beat Agents.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. How did I forget that one?
I don't know.
Wow.
I mean, it's weird because a lot of the situations are kind of serious, but the way that they are solved is always, you know, really, really funny and goofy, and they have humorous outcomes. Like, you know, in the first level, you know, you solve babysitting problems by using football skills. You know, there's a level where Leonardo da Vinci is trying to date Mona Lisa. You know, there's a movie that, you know, isn't going very well. I believe it's called Romancing Meowzilla. Obviously, something called Romancing Meowzilla has got to be pretty darn entertaining.
Absolutely. And when you have all your problems solved by a cheering squad...
Yeah, everything can be solved by singing and dancing, and you know, suddenly your aggressive enemies are befriending you and helping you. Yeah, how can it not be wildly amusing?
And even the most serious level, like the one where the girl's dad passes away.
Yeah.
And the ghost comes back or whatever. Even though it's sort of heartwarming and touching, it's still funny in its own way.
That one always brings a tear to my eye. I wasn't sure I would count that level as necessarily being funny, but certainly it's still done in a very entertaining way. And at the very least, the rest of the game is all full of laughs.
Absolutely.
Another one for me that I always find to be very funny is the Scribblenauts series. You know, this is one where the humor is sort of up to the player, but the fact that you can sort of create endless humorous scenarios is just fantastic. You know, you can create a giant deadly baby and watch it destroy everything you throw at it. You know, you can put wings on an aircraft carrier. You can make a Cthulhu and have it, you know, stuck in a room with a bunch of ninjas or whatever you want. I mean, really, the only thing that limits that game is your imagination. So naturally, it can lend itself to all sorts of crazy, hilarious stuff.
Of course. What's the most recent Scribblenauts game? I don't remember.
Oh, the most recent one is Scribblenauts Showdown, which came out on Switch.
Oh, right.
And almost immediately went half off at most retailers. I haven't played it yet myself. The focus on multiplayer seems kind of weird. I'd love to try it out and see if it is any good, but yeah, the way they released that with sort of minimal hype was kind of worrisome.
Yeah, at least the original Scribblenauts was met with, you know, a lot of critical praise, and it was a really fun game. I'm surprised that it hasn't seemed to continue on.
Well, the original was great. Super Scribblenauts was great. Scribblenauts Unlimited was great.
Yeah.
There was even that DC crossover that was pretty darn well received as well. They've all been pretty good. Mm. Like I said, even this new one might be good. I just don't know, and because that's because I haven't played it. It doesn't seem like anybody else has either.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
But yeah, it's almost always a hilarious time and a fantastic concept.
Yeah, I wonder if my daughter would like that now. She's good at spelling now, and she was even reading the subtitles when we were watching an episode of Lost earlier today.
Uh-huh.
So I think she might be good at this.
Well, this new one, Scribblenauts Showdown, might be perfect for that because that's one that you can actually play on the TV and it has multiplayer in there. So it's something you can actually play with her. So, you know, you guys might just be the right audience for that.
All right. I think I'm picking that up after the show.
Okay. Another game with a very different kind of sense of humor that I do enjoy is Retro City Rampage. Now, the thing that makes this game funny is that it's just, you know, nonstop parody. It's almost all nonstop 80s parody, for that matter. But, you know, it can be very hit or miss depending on what kind of things you liked. And if you're familiar with that era, there are just, you know, tons of nods to games and movies, you know, whether it's Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt or Mega Man 2 or TMNT or Back to the Future or Batman or RoboCop or Sonic or Contra or Bill and Ted or Metal Gear or obviously GTA. The whole thing is basically a parody of GTA. But, you know, all that stuff is in there. And, you know, if you are like, oh, I remember that from Metal Gear, that gives me a good laugh, then, you know, you'll probably get a big kick out of this game. On the other hand, if you aren't that familiar with these properties that it's parodying, you might be left scratching your head a little. Like, you know, there's this whole section inspired by Saved by the Bell, which I have never seen. And so all the references to that pretty much fell flat for me. So I could see that happening with other sections for other people as well. But still, most of the game was, you know, a great nostalgia kick. And I appreciate all the references. And I, you know, love the little nods to Ghostbusters and all these other games and movies, Iron Sword, The Game Genie, all this stuff. Overall, I think it hits way more than it misses, but I think it's a very personal thing depending on, you know, what kind of stuff you were into back in the day.
Well, and aren't you in this game too?
Yes, I am. I am in there as a face that you can put onto the playable character. You can play as the Hoff, so yes. I suppose that makes it extra amusing when you see some of the dialogue coming out of my face, too. But that's not why it's on the list.
Nice.
And then I suppose it almost goes without saying, since, you know, I am such a big fan of the series, but another one that I think is great for humor is the Ace Attorney series.
Of course.
And, you know, I always have to tell people when I'm discussing this game, yes, it's a game about a lawyer, but it's not really a game about a lawyer. The reason it works so well is because of all of the ridiculous characters and situations and things that you encounter during the game. And, you know, again, it's sort of subtle humor. It's not constant out loud laughs, but it just comes from, you know, these over-the-top personalities that you're always encountering. Of course, there sometimes are ridiculous moments, like when Phoenix gets a mug of coffee stuck on his face, or sometimes you can give like the most ridiculous responses. Like the one that I always go back to is, you know, you can tell the judge, you know, Mr. Wellington loves large bananas. You don't even have to know what that's about, and you can find it entertaining.
Right.
Although probably arguably my favorite humorous part in any of the games is in the second Ace Attorney when the clown starts quoting the A-Team. That one is always a personal favorite of mine.
Naturally. I don't think I played the second one. It sounds intriguing.
Yeah, there's lots of good stuff there. And along the same lines, Ghost Trick is very, very similar. It doesn't have quite the same level of goofiness because you're not encountering characters in quite the same manner, but it does have this good mix of lighthearted silliness along with the seriousness of the situations. And that one has, you know, amazing, amazing animation. So it can also be very, very humorous from a visual standpoint, too. So don't miss out on that one either. And then I guess the last game I wanted to bring up as a favorite humorous game would be Shovel Knight. And CJ, do you know why I'm picking Shovel Knight for this list?
I don't. Why?
Two words for you. Butt mode.
All right.
The game has butt mode. Have you played it in butt mode?
I have never played butt mode, no. What is butt mode? I can take a guess.
Well, what butt mode does is it just changes the dialogue in the game where many of the key words, such as anytime you would hear the word shovel or hear the word knight, gets replaced by the word butt. So, you know, early on in the game, you know, you're going into the village for the first time, and the guard might say, oh, you can't come in here with a weapon. Oh, but I see it's just a butt, so go on ahead. And of course, this persists with the bad guys, too. So suddenly, you know, you have villains like King Butt and Tinker Butt and so on and so forth. And, you know, again, this is one that I would not call subtle, but I don't know. Maybe I just have no maturity whatsoever, and so it cracks me up every single time.
Now, how do you invoke butt mode?
Oh, there's some sort of password you enter. I think when it's time to enter your name, when you first start playing, there's a sequence of characters you can enter, and I don't remember what it is off the top of my head, but you can look it up online pretty easily and find out what you have to enter to get butt mode running in Shovel Knight. And of course, the good thing about, you know, not only butt mode in Shovel Knight, but I think all these games we've been talking about, is that they aren't just games that are funny, but they're all, you know, really, really great games at the core. It just so happens that funny is part of what they do really, really well.
Yes.
Anyway, that's all I had for this topic. Was there anything else you wanted to add, CJ?
Insert fart sound effect.
Yeah, by the time we edit this out, probably nobody will know, but the entire time we've been recording this, there is construction going on down below my apartment, so it sounds like there is an ogre farting constantly. So we'll see how this all turns out. If you heard any weird sounds earlier, that is why.
It has made the humorous games discussion far more humorous.
And far longer than it's going to turn out in the final version of this podcast.
True.
Anyway, if you're looking for a good laugh, those are the games we suggest. And with that said, I believe it is pretty much time to wrap up this week's big topic. However, before we go, I think we do have time for one more thing. And unsurprisingly, that is a dramatic reading. This time it comes from Volume 6 of Nintendo Power. Is an excerpt from a preview for Dragon Warrior. Experience the birth of a new era in role-playing adventure. The introduction of Dragon Warrior represents more than just the release of a new game. It marks the beginning of a new and different direction for NES games. A few other RPGs have preceded this release, but none comes close to being part of as monumental a game series as Dragon Warrior. In Japan, this is the game that launched three sequels and is unmatched in popularity. By devoting a large percentage of game pack memory to game depth, gameplay has evolved into a much more complex and rewarding adventure. In addition, mere finger speed and sweat are no match for the challenges which lie in wait for every player. Now, more than ever before, An era of deductive reasoning is challenging us all to excel. Young and old, male and female. Your NES is coming of age. Look to Nintendo Power to provide you with the continuous stream of tips and clues you'll need to revive any stalled attempt to defeat the Dragon Lord. We'll begin with an in-depth introduction in the July-August issue of Power.
I like how that said nothing about the game, really, at all.
Well, this is just an excerpt from the preview. There was a lot more in the preview than that, but I just chose this chunk because of the way they were kind of selling it as something really new and different, and this really cerebral challenge, which we all know really amounts to grind, 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 kill 5,000 slimes,
yes,
and to level up your character.
Now we know that. Yes.
Yes. But, back then they really had to introduce you to what an RPG was and try to sell us on that concept. And I have to say, personally, it didn't work for me with Dragon Warrior. It wasn't until the Super NES came around that I was ready to embrace an RPG. But, for a lot of people, and for myself included, we really did need to be educated as to, what this game was that did not involve a jump and attack button. So,
yeah, that's true.
That is how they did it. Anyway, it's been sort of a short episode of Power Pros this week, but I do believe it is time to bring this episode to a close. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at Power Pros Pod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find CJ at SuperPack. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and of course, if you like the podcast, it would be great if you told your friends about us. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Chris Johnston,
keep playing it loud,
and our good friend with the unfortunate name, Linkle, we will see you next time.